Welcome back to Develop Lex. Today you have Weston Ross sitting in the Awesome Inc. studio with Allison Lankford. Allison is the executive director of Town Branch Park, and we are very excited to cover the park at this point in time. So again, we typically try not to date these interviews, but we're sitting here end of July, and there's some really exciting things going on with Town Branch. And so, and there's a lot of people that have been asking us to cover it. So we're really excited to welcome Allison on. So if you could give us a little bit of intro to you, and then we will, after that, get into the park a little bit. So Allison Lankford, where are you from and how'd you get to where you're at today?
Yeah, I'm from a small town east of here, like Mount Sterling, Kentucky, and really came back to Lexington for the first time for law school. And moved to Louisville for a few years to practice law, came back here and worked at Bluegrass Community Foundation for 12 years as their general counsel and vice president. And that's really where I came in contact with this project for the first time.
And tell us about the Bluegrass Community Foundation and what the purpose is and how the project started out of there.
Well, the Community Foundation is really just a community treasure. They do so many things that sometimes go unrecognized. They work with donors and help facilitate their charitable giving, but they also work to improve all aspects of the community and incubate projects. And so that's how this first hit my desk. It was an idea that then Mayor Gray introduced to the community. It had been talked about for years in various forms, but Mayor Gray was really the first to introduce it as a citywide project. And so it came to the Community Foundation to help think through how to get it done. And it started as a fund of the Community Foundation.
That is awesome. So from vision to where we are now, I'm sure the executive director role is It's everything. If anything, it should be like the queen of downtown.
I don't know about that.
The project is going to be so monumental. Walk us through what it is, some of the different variations, and what it's going to be here in the next 2 years or so.
Well, we're at a really significant milestone. We are getting ready to break ground. And, you know, we started working on this project in earnest in 2016. It was introduced in 2013 as a design charrette that the downtown Lexington Authority introduced. But in earnest, we started working in 2016. And so we will break ground in August and have planned to have this open to the public in 2025. So it's been a decade, really, in the making. And when we look at peer projects around the country, that's pretty typical. But if you've been there from the beginning to now, it's been, you know, a roller coaster ride, mostly positive. But it's hard to start with a vision and concept, and to see it at this point is really exciting. But there's been a lot in between.
Yeah. So the visionary process behind the park. So help me to understand, especially. So effectively, you're sitting in your office one day and this idea is born up in your organization. What has that process looked like to get from that day to, you know, 2023, where we're standing?
So the community talked about this concept that involved the trail. Town Branch Commons now is the name, but at the time it was just creating that spine of the trail in our downtown core with a new signature park, but also improving a lot of the public spaces along, you know, offshoots of the trail. And so that was the big idea that was back in 2013. And it kind of hung around for a while, but there wasn't a real strategy for moving it forward. And so in 2015, 2016, there was a task force that was put together, and that's when I first became involved in it. And it was to really figure out how to move the plan forward. The business plan that came out of that was really to turn over the trail portion to the city, or keep it with the city more accurately, because they could go after transportation grants to build that, and that was the goal and the plan, and they did see that through, and that's how the trail was, in fact, built. But we knew to do a signature park like we wanted and Lexington deserved, that it would take philanthropic dollars. And so we knew we needed to think through how that at the beginning, what was the plan for it once it was built? And so we studied all kinds of models. But what we landed on was Lexington really needed a true, proper park conservancy. And that's really just a nonprofit that oversees, operates a park. And so we laid the foundation for that first as a fund of the Community Foundation, started building a board of advisors, and then ultimately in 2018, we got our own 501c3 and became independent.
So, and I think that's a misconception, at least for me for a long time, was this is not technically the government, the city of Lexington building this park. You all actually are a private institution that has, through the years, raised funding in order to get to where we're at today.
Absolutely. And that's kind of been a misconception because the two projects were aligned early on. It's something that has been a little bit confusing to the community throughout the process. But yes, there is an independent nonprofit that has been, that I run and operate, that has been overseeing the fundraising and to date the design and thinking through park opening and sustainability down the road. And so while we collaborate with this city and there's design standards that we have operated on to build the trail and the park, we meet every other week and coordinate. It is two separate projects.
Got it.
So to back up, just in case there's folks that aren't familiar with the location of it.
Yeah.
It is bordered by one of the best landmarks in downtown, has really cool cross streets with great elevations everywhere. Has a creek that runs through it. Describe more about the like the project site itself.
The site itself. So it is going to be, the new park site is actually what some people refer to as Manchester Street parking lot. Other people have called it Cox Street parking lot. But it is the parking lot immediately adjacent to Rupp Arena and the Central Bank Center. And so there's a garage on the back of Central Bank Center, and that parking lot between the garage and Oliver Lewis Way on one end, Main Street and Manchester Street on the up the other sides. So it is that 10 to 12 acre, depending on what you're counting, asphalt parking lot currently. And it will be transformed into this beautiful green space. As you mentioned, Town Branch Creek already kind of strangely daylights in that parking lot. I still haven't gotten the full story of how that happened, how that wasn't covered, but it's really to our benefit because in other places in our downtown, so at that point it runs into culverts and runs all the way down Vine Street, but it daylights in this parking lot in a pretty significant way. So we're able to restore the stream bed and cover it, make it a central water feature of the park. And, you know, I think everyone loves water. So we are designing around that creek, which happens to be the creek that Lexington was founded on.
That's incredible. This episode is brought to you by Bank of the Bluegrass. It's easy to preach about being a community bank without actually operating that way, but I can attest as a real customer of Bank of the Bluegrass that they are truly in the community and for the community. Whether it's closing a real estate transaction that needs some creativity, troubleshooting an issue where you need a real person on the other end of the phone, or just the simple fact that when you walk in the door, your banker knows your name, Bank of the Bluegrass has you covered. Plain and simple, the best bank in town. Bank of the Bluegrass, member FDIC. NMLS 421548, Equal Housing Lender. Develop Lex is sponsored by SV and Stone Commercial Real Estate, a full-service commercial real estate firm located in Lexington, Kentucky, affiliated with the SVN International Network, which is comprised of over 1,600 advisors and staff and 200-plus offices across the globe. The SVN Stone team consists of experienced commercial real estate advisors in the heart of the Bluegrass. SVN provides commercial real estate services to large corporations, middle market businesses, and individual entrepreneurial investors. Serving the greater Lexington area, SVN offers advisory services for sales, leasing, management, and development of commercial properties locally, regionally, and nationally. With transaction volume of over $400 million, the advisors at SVN Stone Commercial Real Estate have vast experience and deep understanding of all aspects of commercial real estate.
Obviously, this doesn't come without hard work to get to where we're at, and then we'll look kind of towards where we're at and then in the future.
What has the fundraising process looked like? How have you guys been able to garner, I guess, ideas and funding and all of the above? Like, where are you actually getting the ideas behind the park and then the funding to do so?
Well, early on, we've studied like projects all over the country. We're part of what's called the Highline Network, which are projects like these all over the country run by nonprofits. It's spearheaded by the Highline in New York City, but it has about 40 projects like ours in communities, mostly larger. We're one of the smaller communities, and they invite you to be a part of it. So we have a lot of peers to learn from when it comes to how they raise the money for it, but also the design process and certainly operations and things like that down the road. So we gathered as much information as we could about how other people had done it, how they were successful, mistakes they made, and that's where we started. What we found is every community does it differently because their resources are different. In Lexington, we knew we had to think beyond kind of the normal suspects when it comes to philanthropy, and really one of the things that attracted me most about the project and the reason I kind of left my role at the Community Foundation and traveled with the project is because, you know, I'd worked with nonprofits for years. And one of the things that I'd always heard is that there's a lot of wealth in this region and our city, but a lot of it isn't tapped in terms of charitable dollars and philanthropy. A lot of people come here, buy horse farms or those kind of things, and they're given in their communities that they came from and maybe grew their business, and then they come here and it just hasn't been tapped.
Yeah.
And so we heard this over and over, and we thought this project is big enough, bold enough, and a lot of those communities have assets like this. And so it was a project people understood how it transforms a city. And so we thought this was not only an opportunity to transform downtown forever, but also to change the culture of philanthropy in Lexington. You know, never again will we be able to say, we can't do something like this. And let me tell you, at the beginning, I heard it over and over. I mean, that's the most, we love the project, but good luck, you know, is kind of the sentiment. But we have to date, you know, raised around $40 million. And it's been a community-wide effort.
Yeah.
And we were very intentional from the beginning about building a board that we thought had the ability to help us connect to people who would be passionate about this project but understood the bigger picture of what it could do. And so we started there and just started meeting with people. And the plans and the story and all of that kind of sold itself. You know, it's not to say it was easy, but it was a great project.
Yeah.
And people believed in it really from the beginning.
Yeah. As a resident of Lexington, I'm obviously overjoyed that it's happening for a lot of reasons. But when you're talking with people that are giving funding or people that, you know, are just excited in the community day to day about it, what are some of the things, like commonalities between people of Lexington that get them excited about the park? Like, what is kind of the most exciting thing that people get behind with the park?
It depends, you know, and that's one of the things that we have to figure out when we meet with a prospect is the good thing about the park is it has so many diverse assets. I mean, we have the great lawn and, you know, high-tech stage that can hold 4,000 to 5,000 people for national, regional, and local concerts and art programming. We have a children's play area, both a traditional kind of playground, although very unique, and a splash area. We have a dog park, you know. So there's all kinds of programmatic elements depending on your interests, your philanthropic interest. And then you take the economic development and tourism. And so really, we try to have the conversation and let the donor kind of lead that, what they're interested in. But a project like this can really attract the attention and interest of so many different things, yeah. You know.
What is it that you're most excited about? what is getting into a little extra detail?
Oh, gosh, you'll get me in trouble. Of course, I do love it all. The thing that, well, I'll say the one of the areas that we get the two areas we get the most conversation about is the stage and the Great Lawn. And people are so excited about some of, you know, attending concerts or ballet performance or whatever it is in the park. You know, people are excited about that. And then people are really excited about the dog park. I mean, we get a lot of comments, feedback. People are excited about the native planting. I mean, it's been so interesting to see what people are excited about. I love all the different areas, obviously, and been part of the design process. But I do love kind of the plaza. We call it the heart of the park. And it's really, there's no backside to the stage, but it's on the other side of the stage. Mm-hmm. And I love it. It has like community swings. And I just think it'll be a space where people really hang out, come together, interact in ways they might not otherwise interact, or even, you know, with people from other areas in town, yeah, and have conversations and meet. So I love that heart of the park concept, and that's probably the area I'm most excited about seeing, yeah, activated.
I think there's a really cool thing about Lexingtonians remember early 2000s, Red, White, and Boom used to be in Cox Street parking lot, and there were thousands of people that showed up for a 98 Won the Bull concert. Yes. And that's cool to see that a concert venue is coming back in a more permanent fashion to that, yeah, same space.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the most exciting. It's funny. I used to live very close to Woodland Park, and when there's performance, when there's especially performance, like the Woodland Art Fair was a big thing, and then when there will be people performing in Woodland Park, it is crazy how many people flock, yes, to Woodland. So the thought of that being right in the center of downtown is pretty, that's pretty neat. So I'm probably a Great Lawn / concert guy myself. Other features that you may not have mentioned there, I guess we can get into like the nitty gritty of the park. Are there other things that people should be aware of that are in the park that weren't just mentioned?
Well, the trail cuts through the park, and so it is an important connector piece to really finish the Town Branch Commons. And so that's obviously an important piece. It connects at Main Street, and then you travel through the park, and we've changed the routes in different iterations of the design. I think where we landed is great because it used to kind of go around the perimeter of the park, and now it cuts through the heart. Mm-hmm. And so people who are using the trail for transportation or on a bike ride or whatever will literally go through the heart of park and then exit out to Manchester Street. And so that's an important feature of the park. And then the creek itself, but I think we've covered, I mean, not in detail, but
yeah,
we've kind of named the major features. Yeah.
And so going back in the conversation a little bit, where you're talking about the Highline Network,
mm-hmm,
what are some of the other parks that you saw that you would put in your lookbook or in, that gave inspiration to what this is? I know early on people would say it's the Bryant Park or the Central Park or, mm-hmm, those sort of things, but what other cities?
It's kind of interesting because we've learned different things from different venues. But Waterloo Park in Austin has a great lawn and stage the size of ours. So when Commerce Lexington took the trip, I took the trip and I went to visit Waterloo Park and talked to their home team. And so we've learned a lot about the Great Lawn and Stage from them because it happens to be very similar in size. Clyde Warren Park in Dallas, it's shaped like Town Branch Park. So when we think about putting the assets in this rectangle, it's a good visual for how that works and how people travel through the park. It also was a great example. They built their play area too small. People loved it, and they had more visitors than they expected. So when we were visiting, they were expanding it. So we learned a lot about visitors and how you design for not you know, almost everybody had more visitors than they expected. And so how do you factor that into the design and future expansion and things like that? So that was a good one. Bryant Park was one of our first consultants we brought on, are the brains behind Bryant Park. And that was really important to think about how you, from the beginning, think about programming and how you want to use the park and then design around that. So that's what we did. The first thing we did is community engagement. And then we brought in a design team. And so that really came from lessons they learned, where they took Bryant Park, that was a public park for years, but it had become, well, its nickname was Needle Park in the 90s because there wasn't a lot of good stuff going on there. They took it over as a nonprofit, did some landscape work, obviously improved sight lines, things like that. But what they really did is programmed it. And so we learned from them how to program a space so that there's a buzz of activity throughout the park. And really that helps not only make the park more dynamic and fun, but it also helps those safety issues as well. So, you know, we've learned so much from all of them. The High Line, I mean, they have a traveling, amazing.
Incredible.
Amazing. So we learned a lot about landscaping. We learned a lot about how they're bringing in their public art installations. So we've gathered a little bit from all over.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And so we talked about it earlier, but we're sitting in a pretty important time, you know, late July, early August of 2023 right now. What are the things that people can be expecting, like, in the immediate future? Or what kind of give us a timeline for what's to come for Town Branch?
Well, it's a really exciting time because we voted, our board voted at the end of July, end of June, sorry, to move forward with construction. So we felt that our fundraising was in a place to be able to move forward with the construction. So we'll be breaking ground August 15th, which is so exciting, and I can hardly wait, but in the parking lot at 11 o'clock.
Are you taking a swing on an excavator?
I'm not.
I would like to have... But I'd like to see you on the excavator.
Well,
can we get that?
I am working on that. Not for me, but I really want my board chair because I think that would be even more fun. So we're working on that. Stay tuned.
At 11 a.m.
On August 15th in the parking lot that will be the future Town Branch Park.
Okay, gotcha. And then from there, obviously, we're going to break ground. What are the kind of phases? What does that look like? It might be an estimated timeline, mm-hmm. but... And your all's vision of looking forward, what does that kind of look like?
The early work will be, I mean, we have to remove 12 acres of asphalt. Mm-hmm. So that'll be the first thing we do. Then there's a lot of earthwork. I mean, if you go down into the site, it's a bowl. And so we're bringing in a lot of fill to create, you know, different assets. And so the Great Lawn will be elevated so nobody has a bad seat. And so there's a lot of fill that comes in. And so it's really site work for a while. And then I think by spring, hopefully you'll start seeing some stuff come out of the ground, which will be really exciting. Some of the buildings or infrastructure. We're on track to open in 2025. I'm not ready to say a month yet, sure. But I think you will be in the park enjoying it sometime in 2025.
Wow, that is incredibly exciting. I mean, this has been a long time coming.
It has.
That's incredibly exciting. Yeah, so I guess for the next couple of years, the actual work will be being done on the park, and then we can enjoy it in 2025. Are there, and this might be out of your wheelhouse or some, obviously not your department per se, but are there other projects that will be going on simultaneous downtown with that? Like, how does the trail tie into that as well? Is that completed?
It is complete. I mean, I think they're continuing to do things to connect to it, but that's complete. The ribbon's been cut, you know, gotcha. So to speak. Obviously, across the street on High Street, that development will be coming online sometime around the same time, which will be great. But other than that, you know, I mean, we're kind of the last piece mm-hmm. of this portion of the Town Branch Commons kind of vision.
Craftsman Contractors is Central Kentucky's one-stop shop for roofing, windows, siding, and gutters. CraftsmanContractors.com/contact us will get you straight to the form you need so their team will get in touch about your project. Or just text Steven at 859-246-0108. When they finish your project of windows, siding, gutters, or roofing, you'll see what they mean when they say we build with integrity. Are you looking to start or scale your real estate portfolio in Central Kentucky? Check out Rapid Fire Investments. They find off-market, discounted real estate deals just for you, so you can save time and maximize profits. From single-family homes to multifamily apartments, no matter what your investment goals are, Rapid Fire can help you reach them. Sign up for their email list today and get notified when new properties become available. Just go to rapidfireinvestments.com. That's rapidfireinvestments.com.
So you mentioned about programming, and programming in parks is something that just, it takes a great park and turns it into an extraordinary park. Walk us through what that programming looks like. There's a lot of planning that goes into that, and it's not just staffing for grounds and cleanup. It's actual life-giving program. It's like a living library in some ways.
Yeah, that's a nice analogy. So as a staff, you know, we've been focusing on fundraising largely and the design. And to the extent we've been thinking about programming, it's how it relates to the design. We've engaged with over 16,000 Lexingtonians and, you know, surrounding counties. And so we have a lot of feedback and input. A lot of that is about programming. But I think we'll start to revisit that, you know, to date, we've used that information to guide the design. The next step, as soon as we break ground, we kind of shift gears. We'll still be doing fundraising, but we'll shift gears and be focused kind of internally on that programming plan, operations, park sustainability, and things like that. So taking a lot of that stuff back off the shelf and putting it into kind of concrete plans to operate the park. So that programming, it goes from everything from like a yoga in the park to a large 4,000 person concert to, you know, a yappy hour in the dog park. I mean, you know, you name it, we're considering it. And have been gathering that kind of information from peers as well, what programming has really worked. And most of it will be free and open to the public. I mean, that's our goal, is for most of it to be free and open to the public. There'll be some ticketed events because that's an important revenue stream for the park to be able to maintain itself to the standard we all want. But a lot of it's free and open to the public, and we'll be re-engaging to specifically focus on that again, what programs people want.
Yeah, but at this point, programming can't happen, or you can't think about programming until you actually think of how that will be implemented into the park based
that's
off
right.
design. So that's kind of where you guys are at right now.
Exactly.
We're good with the design. We're moving forward. We're breaking ground. And then
shift.
At some point, we'll rethink, like, how are we actually going to run this thing?
Yeah.
And walk us through who your contractors, designers, tell us about your development team that you get to work with.
Yeah, so Suzaki out of Boston is our lead design team, and they're amazing. They have so much experience building this type of asset, which is what drew us to them. We had never done this in Lexington. We'd never raised money and built a park like this. I mean, you know, the Triangle Foundation had done it on a certain level, but really a community-wide effort to raise the money and do this. So we knew we had to do it right. And we had to get it right the first time if we really were going to replicate this model for other things our community wanted, you know, whatever that turns out to be. So we really wanted to bring on a design team who had done this before, who had worked with a nonprofit to do it before, and had that experience working with the community, and they did. They had that history and experience, and they've been wonderful. It's been a great fit for the project and for our team. Then Dean Builds is the local construction management team, and we did a little bit different model where it's not a design build, but we brought the design team and the construction management team on at the same time. Different contracts, but on at the same time. And so Dean Builds has walked alongside Sasaki from the beginning to make sure, one, doing significant real cost estimates to make sure we can build what's being designed. You know, when you're using donors' money, you are extra careful about that, and we took it very seriously. And so they walked along alongside that and also offered constructability, you know, feedback. And so that plan just continued to evolve through the process with Dean Builds on, and they were a great partner. And then Sasaki has a number of subs that are local. Almost all their subs are local, which was important to us too.
That's very cool. Yeah, and what excites me the most about that statement, I feel like sometimes there are very large citywide projects, not necessarily in Lexington, but that too, that maybe it's like an overpromise and underperform. Like, it's a great idea to have, you know, insert XYZ in the park, but if you don't actually from day one work with the construction team to get cost estimates behind it, it can't happen. Like, you can fundraise and then you might have undershot it. So that's very cool.
I don't think people realize how expensive like a park bench is. Yeah. Like, that's the one that is going to hold up. Those are expensive.
Everything is expensive and has become increasingly expensive over the last 10 years, you know, which has been interesting too.
Let's shift forward thinking a little bit. And this, you know, this may be not as much like Town Branch Park specific, but can be as little or as much as you want to. How do you feel like Lexington can continue to change for the better in this way? And are there other projects that you've seen other cities implement alongside like parks like this that could be complementary uses, you know, for our city to be thinking about several years down the road?
Yeah, you know, I think what people maybe are just starting to understand, some people might not yet, but really the economic engine that these type of projects are, and really the development that spurs from them. And that's in cities all over, you can see that. You know, I remember that being one of the things that was amazing to me early on. We'd visit some of these projects that were fully up and running, so they weren't under construction, but they were fairly new. And the development that was going on all along them, the construction that was happening, was amazing. And, you know, at Clyde Warren Park, they had already an art museum that was adjacent to the park site. And they weren't really thrilled about the park coming in for various reasons. And I don't even know what those reasons were. But when we were there, they had changed their front door to face the park because it had been such an asset to them and to bringing new people and exposure to them. So that's one of the things that we think is exciting, not only is the economic development that we expect and already is happening all around the park. I mean, we kind of get tickled when we see a newspaper article that say, you know, this condo overlooking Town Branch Park, and it's a parking lot right now, you know, and until recently we hadn't raised the money to build it. But hey, you know, if it works, you know, use it. So there's that. But then even in the park, you know, our model for programming is to bring current, some for-profit, but definitely not-for-profits that are doing great work into the park and expose what they do to a new audience. And so that in and of itself is kind of that in economic development too, or helps develop our assets. But I think there could be lots of things. I mean, you know, I have my own ideas about what I think Lexington could benefit from or what would take it to, you know, that next step. But I think the most important thing is that, as I said earlier, that we can never say we can't do it again. Because there were a lot of naysayers that believed that we couldn't raise this much in philanthropy, that it had to be federal money or, you know, city money. But over 90% of our dollars are individual families, individuals or families, and businesses have certainly stepped up as well. But whatever we decide to do next as a community, we can do it.
Yeah. So I guess probably last question, and one that's that jumps out to me because that feels like a resilient Lexington of like, yeah, people say we can't do it, but we're going to raise the money and we're going to do it because we want the projects. The one that's really cool. But looking forward, you know, a call to residents, what are things that people can do? You know, obviously they can go to the park once it's built in 2025.
It'll be open.
Yeah. But what are other things that people can be doing to support or to get excited about for the next 2 years?
Well, obviously, we're continuing to raise money. And really, our phase two fundraising focuses on we would like to open the doors with 2 years operating reserve in hand so that we can really, from day one, bring in the type of programming and maintain it at the standard and level that we promised the community. So that's what, and then we're also going to start seeding an endowment that over time we hope will continue to grow. So obviously we want everybody to be part of it. And if they're inclined, you know, please give. But also we will be continuing to get input and engagement from the community. And it will focus on what do you want to do in the park? What kind of programs do you want to see? And that'll be really important. Give us your feedback. I mean, we sincerely want it and we'll use it to inform those plans. So they can follow us on social media. We have Facebook and Instagram. On our website, you can sign up and get newsletters from us. And all of that will provide that information when we are getting input or ways to, and obviously, you know, we all have emails that are on the website, and we truly do want people to contact us and give us their feedback and thoughts and ideas because it is their park. I mean, it's a community park open to the public, and to be that, we have to know what you want.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for coming on, but more importantly, thank you for being a very, very key person in changing downtown Lexington.
Thank you so much.
Develop Lex is a part of the Middle Tech family of brands. This episode is edited by Jacob Spencer. Emily McCarthy creates our social content that serves you daily.